Hello, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is H10 Hanshin Tigers English News, and we are on episode 28. Today is May the 1st, 2016, and my name's T-Ray, by the way. With me as co-host is...
Joe.
What's up, Joe? You sound pretty excited to be alive.
Not a bad day, you know?
Yeah.
Good finish to the week is a preview to the podcast, but tough beginning to the week, let's put it that way.
Oh, for sure. Yes, so on today's show, we are going to recap the week that was. We're going to choose player of the week each, and then we're actually going to go into something that we have never done, player of the month. After that, we're going to have a special topic. We'll reveal that later. We'll do a Fantasy Tigers update, and then we'll predict the week to come. So stick around. But before we actually get into the meat of the show, it's Golden Week here in Japan. And obviously, Joe, you're not in Japan right now, but you have been in Japan in the past. So tell us a little bit about your Golden Week experience or what you felt about Golden Week.
Yeah, I was in 2009. I was in study abroad, so I was at a university, and so it was basically like spring break, I would kind of call it, comparing it to the U.S. Right. But I think it means a lot more to the Japanese people, I think, than maybe spring break does to the U.S. people. But you know, so but I don't remember a whole lot of any other kind of like traditional stuff more than just a week off of school and making it to baseball games in the middle of the week during the day. So,
yeah, I think a lot of people take advantage and use it as a time to travel, to go back home, or to just go somewhere that they wouldn't normally get to go. But, oh man, the traffic is just mad here. It's just crazy. I mean, you talk about like 35 to 40 kilometer backups on the highways and stuff like that. And I just feel like for me, Golden Week is a time to stay home and not do anything. But, you know, when I was living down in Okinawa, my very first year down there, I decided to do a bit of an adventure. And so I went up all the way to Hokkaido and I spent 10 days there. All by myself. I didn't speak much Japanese at the time, but I traveled around, went to Sapporo, Hakodate, and then I went out east a little bit. Actually, I went as far as Kushiro, so I did do quite a bit of coverage of Hokkaido during that time. Good times, but I think that might have been my one and only big trip during Golden Week. So,
yeah. I remember going to Hokkaido when I was there, too. I took like a four-day trip. It was definitely worth it.
So. Yeah, so anyone out there that has not been to Hokkaido, go to Hokkaido. All right,
especially during Yuki Matsuri, that's when I went, so it was awesome. Yeah.
Yuki Matsuri is amazing, yes, for sure. All right, guys, we're going to be back in a little bit. Stick around. Right, so we're going into the weekly recap. So, Joe, we actually went three straight against the Giants and three straight against the Bay Stars this week. Not a single one of them was rained out, even though looked like there would be a chance of a rain out. And actually, it might have been better off if there had been a rain out. My goodness. So we're going to get into that right away. We're going to talk about the scores, the pitchers, all the whole deal that we usually do. So Tuesday, we go up against the Giants at home. They bring Takagi to the mound, and we bring Fujinami to the mound. And Fujinami took his first loss because we lost this one 5-3. We took an early lead, and then there was a big, bad sixth inning for us, and we never recovered. But thoughts on the game, Joe?
Yeah, I think our offense was really kind of spread around. Didn't have too many hits, but, you know... We did have a good third inning with two runs, but, you know, and we had, I think in the third, we ended up having bases loaded, no outs. So getting two runs is good. Maybe we should have had more, you know, if you have bases loaded, no outs. So, yeah, it's kind of tough to see that. But in the eighth inning, we were down 5-2 at this point. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of a rally and, started off with Fukudome getting a hit and then earned a strikeout by Gomez, but then Toritani took a deep ball to center field, and I tell you what, it was not even a foot off of the top of the fence. So
yeah,
it came off the wall, and we got a run off of first base. Fukudome was all made it all the way around, so it was a good hit. But man, it would have been good to see one more run up there. Then the could have been the rally, but still, it might not have been enough. So,
well, for sure, it would have made things a little bit more interesting heading into the ninth if Toritani's ball had cleared the wall. Obviously, no fault of his own. I mean, it was a great hit, but it just, you know, just didn't carry its way out, and that was really unfortunate. Yeah, agreed on that for sure. Let's talk about the sixth inning a little bit and what happened to Fujinami. I mean, like, he had been rolling very well until then. He allowed just one hit and two walks through five innings. All of a sudden in the sixth inning, I mean, six straight guys reached base without him recording a single out. And it just looked like he was completely out of it. It looked like Umeno was completely out of it. Did you catch that? And what was your take on that?
Yeah, when I watched... I don't know if I saw, I don't think I caught that. I think I turned the game on right after that, but I caught some of the highlights and, you know, he did look good the whole thing. And then I guess maybe he thought he had a really good game going. And then all of a sudden, you know, Chono comes up, gets on base and then a double, so you're sitting not looking real pretty. And I think it probably got to his head and just really kind of let it go from there. So tough to see that, but you know, he made it through the inning, I guess. So after those six straight, he came up and got three straight outs. So
yeah,
by that time they were at the bottom of their lineup. So maybe it was a little easier to get those outs. But yeah, I don't know. It's tough to say that it was a bad game. I mean, it was almost a quality start if he had let up three runs. But
yeah,
he made it all the way through I think the next inning as well, right?
He did. Yeah,
made it through seven. So that takes some guts to put him out there for the seventh inning after blowing up in the sixth like that.
But, well, especially since he had to face the top of the order once again in the seventh. So
yeah.
But
he went 1-2-3 in the seventh. So
he did.
He did it.
So he ended his outing with six straight outs, which was great. Notably, though, you know, it was runners on second and third with no outs when he recorded those three outs, and the first two were grounders to short. So, I mean, obviously, Toritani was drawn in a little bit, and, you know, if his range isn't bad enough when he's positioned normally, when he's drawn in, certainly his range is even worse. But, you know, Fujinami induced grounders that were right to him, so they were pretty easy outs, and nobody scored on them. So that was kind of a nice recovery from that. One more point that I want to make, and I thought this was... I mean, it wasn't key to victory or defeat, but it was just a play that I'd like to point out that maybe people didn't notice and probably didn't make the highlights. Top of the seventh with, Tateoka up to bat, so it was one out. And he's trying to lay a bunt down the third baseline, and he actually did. He laid down a beautiful bunt, and Imanari charged it, and he realized he didn't have a play at first. So he actually let it roll because I guess he saw that maybe it was heading a little bit towards the baseline. Brilliant move, though, to not pick it up and say, oh, dang it, they got another hit. You know, like he actually took a chance and it rolled through his legs, obviously on purpose, and then it rolled foul. So it was kind of a nice way to, force Tateoka back to the batter's box. Just a great bit of defense there and something that really highlights his prowess at third.
Yeah, because, I mean, especially with no runners on, you know, why not? Because it's not like he's going to make it all the way to second. Maybe he'll make it to second, but if it stays fair. But, you know, if he had any intuition as to, you know, he got to be have that sense of, you know, the whole field and what's going on to be able to make that split decision like that. So, yeah, good on him.
Yeah, makes me wonder if any of the other third basemen would have had the presence of mind to do that, though. Yokawa or Arai or even Haig, who's down on the farm. It's kind of hard to say, you know, we can't say one way or the other, but just a play I wanted to point out there. Okay, let's move on to Wednesday's game. I happened to be at this one, and, you know, there was talk all day of rain. The rain never came or didn't come hard enough, and so the game started 30 minutes late. But, they brought Taguchi to the mound, who I hadn't really even ever heard of, and we brought Iwata on like 10 days rest.
Maybe he should have had more rest.
Well, he's going to get a lot more rest after that game because, it was an 11-1 final. If you did not catch it or didn't see the scores, Iwata obviously took the loss and, Taguchi went all the way. He pitched 9 innings, 99 pitches to get through us. And 11-1 win for the Giants. Give us some thoughts.
Yeah, it was, from what I saw, I think it was Taguchi's first complete game
yes.
as a pro. So that was, I guess, good on his point. You know, it's tough seeing the scoreboard like this where they just consistently are putting up big innings and continuing to get hits. They had 11 hits for the game, and they're all spread out across, you know, a lot of the innings. So even after Iwata got pulled in the fourth, they continued to give up runs. So it was tough to see. And our bats kind of just were, you know, slow going as recent. So, you know, I have a note here that Takayama made a real great catch in the fifth up against the wall, made a jumping catch mm-hmm. into the fence. So, you know, that's good to see some good defense out of the younger kids. We had Shimizu come in and catch this game. So that's kind of, you know, again, the catcher situation is in complete flux. And then Haraguchi came in the fifth, I see, batting. So, yeah. You know, not even making it through a whole game. I guess that's maybe because Shimizu was working with Iwata, and then they switched to Sayuchi, and maybe that was the need for the catcher swap. But, you know, I also have note that we had five innings that were 1-2-3 for us. So, and then we had four, the other four innings were only four players up to bat. So we never had more than four batters go up to the plate in any inning. So that's not a good day.
Yeah.
So, and then the only run we had was a Ryota Arai pinch hit home run. And mm-hmm. I saw a video of this where it was, I think, from the umpire camera from his helmet. Mm-hmm. And he took a big swing, and then he flipped his bat, you know, yes. pretty hefty. So he better have made it out, but it did. So did you see that?
Yeah, he's a notorious bat flipper, so it didn't surprise me at all. In fact, if you see any kind of still shots of him on, like, baseball cards or anything, his bat's always midair. So,
yeah.
So you were mentioning about the paucity of hits in this game for the Tigers. Not only that, but five double plays on the night.
Wow. Oh, yeah,
Third, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. All double plays. I think all of them, all except for the eighth inning, were inning-ending double plays. No, pardon me, the eighth and ninth inning. So the first three were inning-ending double plays, and the eighth and ninth were, you know, zero outs with one man on, all the way to two outs with nobody on. So, you know, real rally killers all night. That was probably the most frustrating part of the game for me to watch. But actually, if you go to the website and if you go to the series recap for this one, you'll see I listed off every blunder or every mistake that I saw as I was watching the game, everything that made me shake my head. So, you know, there's lots. Trust me. Go there if you've got like an extra 5 minutes, and it might take you that long to read through just that game summary. There were that many bad plays or, you know, bad pitches or whatever it was. So the only thing that I would also want to add to what you said was that we got to keep in mind that we smoked the Giants in Tokyo Dome 10-1 earlier in the month of April. So it's kind of retribution in a sense. Like, I mean, it's like the person that can take a joke when, you know, they can give the jokes out. They can dish out, you know, the criticism or the jokes, but they can't take them when they come against them. And it's kind of the same thing. I mean, like, okay, we can take it when we beat a team 10-1, but how do we take it when we lose 11-1 or whatever? So, you know, definitely, we just kind of have to take it and roll with it. It is what it is. It was a terrible game, and we just had to move on to the next one, which we tried to do.
One quick question, though. How was the atmosphere at the game? Where were you sitting, and how are the fans taking it?
Oh, yeah. So I was sitting, I was kind of between home plate and first base as far as where I was situated, and I was about 24 rows up. And, from where I was, I could see left field clearly. I could see actually most of the field clearly. I was surprised at the lack of fans there. And I think it was because it had been raining all day, and a lot of people thought, oh, it's just going to rain out. It's going to be rain delays. And so, you know, fortunately for me, I was under the shelter. So even if it had been raining, I'd have been okay. But, the lack of crowd was surprising. And then, there was just a lot of frustration, and I could hear a lot of the Osaka band, just the harsh words and you know, what are they calling Yaji, right?
I guess.
I think in Japanese. They were just flying. So certainly there was a lot of criticism being passed around. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to Game 3. We're 0-2 against the Giants, and we go in on Thursday, and they're bringing the best pitcher in baseball this year so far, and that's no exaggeration, Sugano, and he's going up against Randy Messenger. So a pretty good matchup of aces in this one. And it's kind of a shame to give the final score before we talk about it, but I'll do it anyways. We ended up tying this one 3-3, so it went all 12 innings. So no wins and no losses in this one. No pitchers to talk about in that case. But Randy gave up a 3-run home run in the top of the third, and then our team scrapped back to tie it up. You want to talk a little bit about this one, Joe?
Yeah, this was a heck of a game. You know, Randy had a good game other than, you know, maybe just one bad pitch there against against in the third. So, you know, definitely good to see that we had some offense against Sugano. Mm-hmm. We had a couple sparse hits there, fourth, fifth, sixth, even seventh. So, mm-hmm. So, you know, we did have some hits and we got, you know, a run there. I think it was on, let me see, an error, to the first base on a double play in the fifth inning that got us a run. Gomez yeah. was able to make it home on a error because the throw to first went past the first baseman. So mm-hmm. we got a run, maybe not completely earned, but hey, we'll take it. And then, so Messenger went, seven innings, gave up nine hits, and then five strikeouts, one walk, and then those three runs on that one home run. So right. I think the team had, you know, the confidence that the Messenger was, you know, having a good game, even though it was kind of a pitcher's duel, other than that one home run there for a little bit and a fielding error. So we're down 3-1 going into the bottom of the ninth, and this is where it starts to get interesting.
Yeah, so Sawamura comes in, their closer, and, you know, he has pretty much dominated us for most of his career, just as a preface to what Joe's going to continue with.
Right, and so I don't know how many times this year, maybe it's maybe three or four, where we're down in the ninth, and then all of a sudden, Gomez comes up in the ninth and cranks one.
Yeah.
You know, and then how many games is it Gomez cranks it, and then that's it, you know, and mm-hmm. so we're down one or two runs that we don't make it. And so this time, I'm going to spoil it, but, you know, obviously, you know that we tied it up, so it actually happened. So Gomez came up first and cranks a home run.
Yep.
So it made it into the first row of left field stands. So it's great to give a ball back to the Giants fans out there. But so then Hojo came up with a hit to the left. It could have been caught, but the runner kind of like held up just the slightest bit and let it bounce in front of him. So mm-hmm. I really think if he could have tried to make a catch, if it was, you know, maybe an inning-ending kind of play, he would have made a little more effort. But perhaps, because they still had a lead, maybe they were, being a little, you know, holding back on that.
And with no outs, he may have been hesitant too.
Right, because yeah. there's no one behind him, so it would have really hurt if he did miss it. So
right.
So then I think Yamato came up and got an out.
He bunted.
Successfully. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. For him, back to his old game.
Yeah. You know, and I'm okay with a bunt there in that situation. Yeah. You know, it makes sense. It's not the first inning. So,
right.
You know, you need that one run, and getting him in scoring position will help. So then Egoshi came up and hit it right in the hole between between the shortstop and third.
Yeah.
So then you know, it really worked pretty good. And then let's see, what ended up. So then Haraguchi came up and then gave a sac fly pretty deep to center.
And I think he swung at the first pitch he saw, I'm pretty sure. And
yeah, I think it was the first pitch. And then, you know, it was pretty deep too. So it was a good sac fly. I think it was his first pro RBI for Haraguchi. So not a bad at bat.
Yeah,
but
not bad at all.
I do have one question. They kept talking about his uniform, mm-hmm. and he wasn't wearing his uniform, right? He was wearing, was it a coach's uniform?
That's absolutely right, yes. Okay, so this is maybe good timing to talk about Haraguchi and who he is. He was a draft pick of the Tigers, I think it was sixth round or maybe fourth round in 2009, and he just never was able to make it up to Ichigun for like 4 straight years. And so instead of cutting him loose, they made him an Ikusei player, which is a development player. Now, the Ikusei players get a triple digit number on their uniforms. The rest of the guys that are on the farm, the normal farm guys, they've got their regular number and their uniform is exactly the same as the Hanshin Tigers uniform. So if they get called up for a game or for a series or whatever it might be, it's really easy. They just bring their old uniform with them. However, with the triple digit number, he's not allowed to be called up. Now, what happened was after Tuesday's game, Umeno got farmed because he hit like crap. He was calling the game terribly. He didn't hit. Sorry. Yeah. So he maybe he swung like crap is better. I'm not really sure. His swing was terrible. He struck out 3 times in that game. And his batting average was somewhere around 130 at the time that he got dropped. He got sent down to the farm. And Haraguchi had his contract reworked or whatever. I'm not sure how that works, but he all of a sudden became a player that was eligible to be called up. He was called up. And then on that same day, he actually got some playing time. Now, the Tigers were using retro unis during this series against the Giants. So obviously, Haraguchi, you know, until Tuesday, was not even eligible to play in those games. So they didn't make a Haraguchi retro uni. So when he came up, that the uni wasn't ready for him. So he had to wear Coach Yamada's uniform. So he was wearing 82. And so on Wednesday, which was Haraguchi's first day, and he pinch hit, or he replaced Shimizu, like you said. Yeah, I was with my buddy, and I was like, who's number 82? I've never heard of that. And I knew that Haraguchi was 94. Like, that was the number they gave him, the new number. But, you know, I've been having eye problems lately, and it's not just old age. And I thought, maybe it's 32. Maybe it's Araidiota, right? And then as I looked a little bit more closely, I was like, no, this was actually 82 Haraguchi. Wait a minute. And then after the game, I checked, and in fact, it was the coach's uniform and so on. So kind of an interesting story. And then he played the next game, which was the one we're talking about now, in the same uni. But now he's got his own uniform. So that's the story. Sorry to be long and drawn out.
No, I'll say that the uniforms I thought looked pretty good, you know. So
I like them too.
The older uniforms. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun for sure. So yeah, Haraguchi, there's the story on him. And he'll be wearing number 94. And he will be, he's a catcher. He's still a catcher. And so he'll be maybe a part of the, you know, an important part of the team from here forward. He's certainly impressed this first week, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. Let me just give a bit of commentary on this Giants series, on this game. First of all, my understanding was, and I didn't really watch the replay that closely, but a lot of people were saying the home run by Sakamoto was not so much a mistake by Randy as it was a good piece of hitting by Sakamoto. This is also the same guy that hit 2 home runs the day before. So, I mean, he's seeing the ball really well. And he was able to drive one that was, I'm pretty sure it wasn't even in the zone, over the left field fence. So that was Randy's lone blemish on the day, other than the fact that there were multi-base runners in the first, third, and fourth innings. But the thing about Randy is, like, man, he was tough when he needed to be tough. I mean, when there were guys on base and he was in that tough situation, he was getting the outs he needed to get out. So it was just that one pitch that happened to be, you know, connected on really well that resulted in this game having to go 12 innings. And then the other one I want to talk about is, we're going to talk about Haraguchi a little bit because the 12th inning was led off by an Egoshi walk. And then Haraguchi came up and keep in mind, as a catcher, he's known as a power hitter or a potential power hitter. He comes up and lays down a perfect bunt to get Egoshi over to second base. So it's second base with one out and we've got a chance for a 12th inning walk-off win. But unfortunately, 2 straight guys strike out to end the game. So that was kind of a bummer. It would have been nice to end the series with a win. Instead, we go 0-2-1 against the Giants. And who predicted that we were going to sweep the Giants? Oops.
Hey, at least I had one loss baked in there.
Yeah. You were much closer than me. I said they go 3-0, so that was a terrible call on my part. But we'll sweep that one under the rug, and we'll see if we can bounce back this week. Anything else to add about this Giants series before we move forward, Joe?
Not too much. I mean, it was a tough run there. Kind of low scoring for us, and so I think as we'll get into the next couple of games, at least you can see that we, you know, had a maybe a lower level opponent to come up against. So I think that's good to get the confidence back maybe for the team. So
right.
Maybe we can.
Right. I'll add a couple of things though. So we mentioned that Umino got farmed after his over 3-3 strikeout, terrible catching performance. By the way, he seems to be pretty bad at throwing out runners at second base as well. Haraguchi got called up in his place. But then also Sayuchi had a terrible Wednesday, as well as Iwata. And they both got farmed immediately. And taking their places... Oh, and Shimizu also got farmed. So taking their places were Komiyama and Ishizaki. And then I think the third place was taken by Fujikawa when we called him up for Saturday's game. So that's kind of a bit of a shift in the roster for the Tigers. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. But let's move now into the weekend series against the DeNA Yokohama Bay Stars, the last place team that Joe said we were going to sweep. And T-Ray said 2-1. I also said 2-1 because they were going to be too cocky after sweeping the Giants. So my reasoning for the 2-1 call was wrong. But guess what? I was right. 2-1. Okay, so let's go into it. Friday, they brought rookie Imanaga to the mound, and we brought young rising star Iwasada to the mound. And I actually happened to be at this game as well. I was in the first base Alps, row 60. So I was four rows from the top of the first base Alps, but I was pretty close to as close to the infield as you can get within the Alps. So they were actually really good seats. It was a great view. But really, what can we say about this game? Man, did we ever strike out a lot, is what I'll say.
Just a few times.
Wow. I mean, Imanaga went 6 2/3, so that means he recorded 20 outs. 14 of the 20 outs he recorded were by strikeout. 14. On the day, we fanned 16 times, so 16 out of 24 at-bats or outs were strikeouts. How you like that? 2/3 of them. By the way, if we only had 24 outs, what does that mean? Yes, we won. It was a 2-1 final, so that was good stuff. Joe, what did you notice about this game, or what were some of the things that you want to point out?
Yeah, I read that the 16 strikeouts against were tied the team record for the fifth time.
Oh, we've
had 16 strikeouts in a game. And also I read that the average age of the position players in the game for us was 26 years old. Mm-hmm. And Yokohama, it was 26.6. And the only players over 30 on our team were Gomez, he's 31, and Toritani, and he's 34. So mm-hmm. I think you can start to see that we're shifting younger and younger. And yes. I think that's over the number of years, we've all kind of been like, we need to do that. So even if, you know, this year doesn't end up being what it is, I think giving these younger players the experience is really could pay off in the next few years. So
yes.
So getting back to the game, you know, we had, I guess with all the strikeouts, we had five innings that were 1-2-3 innings against us, four. And then one of them, we had a walks thrown in there, but, you know, only I think four hits for us on the game. So it was, pretty tough. But, in the fifth, we had a, walk by who other than Toritani to start the inning. I think he leads the team in walks. I'm almost guarantee for that. But and then we had Yokawa come in and crank a home run. I think that was his first home run
of his career.
I guess it was career. Yeah. Yep. So that's big coming in and getting that. So we had the 2-1 lead there. I guess it was a gyakuten home run, mm-hmm. as they say. So that's a big. Big momentum change for the team. So, but other than that, the offense really wasn't there. We had two hits in the seventh and one in the eighth. So, kind of a low scoring game. But Takahashi came in and in relief in the seventh and had a 1-2-3 strikeouts in the mm-hmm. in the inning. And then Dolas and Mateo both came up and had clean sheets. So, good to see them coming in, and so good relief.
Dolis and Mateo, between the two of them, they allowed two hits, and despite that, it took them 14 pitches combined to get through two innings. So, talk about efficient pitching. Yeah. Yeah, pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I think we've said that before with Dolis, a few pitches, and Mateo both. So,
yeah, you know, now that we're talking about Dolis a little bit, This is a guy that, honestly, like, if he keeps pitching like this, there's no room for Haig on the Ichigun team, and that's really kind of unfortunate because I like Haig, and I'd love to see him come back. But, I mean, like, our bullpen, until Dolis came up, our bullpen was definitely our Achilles, and it's still not very strong, but just having him in there as a reliable quality arm has made a difference in some of these games. And it seems to me that, you know, bringing Dolis in tight situations has led to victory or whatever, and we'll get to that. I keep saying this, but we'll get to that a little bit later as well. But in this one, he contributed to the win in that he, you know, he held the lead there. And then Mateo was able to come in and shut it down. So that was good stuff. Yeah. One of the things that I noticed in this game, just being there and then watching highlights afterwards and stuff, is that we had two attempted diving catches by our outfielders. And both of them were unsuccessful. Egoshi in the sixth, it was leadoff hit to the right center gap. He was playing right field. And he charged it, he dove, he caught it, but then on the fall, he dropped it. It ended up being a triple. So Iwasada had to fight through a no-outs runner on third base. And at the time, the score had just become 2-1. And so he obviously wanted to hold on to that lead as tightly as he could. But you know, when he came up to the Heroes podium after the game, he said, you know, when I saw Egoshi's effort out there, I just thought, like, I really definitely need to hold this, you know, hold this lead, for that. And then later on in the ninth, with one out, and Mateo on the mound, it was another, fly ball to this time it was the left center gap. And I think it was Yokota. Actually, it was Yokota and Takayama were both going after it. And they got really close to each other. And it seems to me that Yokota wasn't able to lay out as much as he wanted to because Takayama was also charging. It seemed like he hesitated a bit. Anyways, that one, found the turf as well and ended up being another triple. So again, then Mateo was in a jam, runner on third with one out. But he got out of that as well with some great pitching. But both of those, I mean, a lot of people would say, oh, you know, if Yamato had been there, those would have been outs or whatever. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong. It's definitely true. But I'll also say this. I'll say, you know, like these young guys, they don't have the experience that Yamato has or even Fukudome has or these guys that seem to make the amazing catches. They're going to miss some. They're going to bobble some. They're going to misplay some, whatever. And it's continued through the week and it's going to continue through the season. In order for them to become really good, I think they kind of have to go through this a little bit. It's a little bit of a trial by fire. But there's going to be some drops and there's going to be some mistakes like that. So it's kind of unfortunate, but we just kind of have to bear with them.
Yeah, at least these two didn't really hurt us in the end. So, you know, no harm, no foul, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then the other thing, actually, there's a couple things I want to mention. One, the run that Iwasada allowed was unearned. And I think it's just the way that rules work here in Japanese baseball because it was two outs. There were two outs in the inning. And there was a ground ball to first base. Gomez fielded it, and then he tossed it to Iwasada, who was running in from the mound to cover first base. He missed first base, so the runner was safe. And then after that, two straight hits led to the run. So it's counted as unearned, but it was Iwasada's error. So I kind of feel like it should be an earned run. Like, it should cost him. But, I mean, that's just stats. You know, obviously he wasn't happy about allowing that run. But that was the one thing. And then the other thing I wanted to point out was that Takayama, Egoshi, and Yokota got individual cheer songs made for them. You can find them on the website, but they were introduced on April the 26th in the Giants series, and ever since then, all three of these guys have been terrible at the plate, including just an unsightly number of strikeouts by Takayama and Egoshi. So I don't know, maybe we need to go back to just the standard Katobase Takayama or something like that, because he ain't hitting no more. So hopefully he'll turn the corner on that. But, another thing again with young guys, I mean, they're going to go through these slumps and they're going to go through growing pains. So we just kind of have to bear with it, I think.
Yeah. It's tough to see. I mean, just thinking through that, I think, you know, you're like, finally somebody's going to, you know, I think that's probably a big step, you know, in a Japanese player's career is to have, mm-hmm. you know, their own, you know, song made up, mm-hmm. a hitting march or what they call them, I think. And, yeah. You know, so it's like, I think that's a big thing. And then, so maybe it got to their head a little bit and they're sitting there singing along too much in their head instead of watching the balls come in from the pitcher. So
could be. But, Yeah, I mean, maybe something they need to get used to a little bit or whatever. So, okay, let's move on now to Saturday's game. And the big comeback game for Kyuji Fujikawa, who got called up from the farm to start this one. And he went up against their, I guess, de facto ace. I'm not really sure. I mean, he's pitching like an ace this year, but he's never been called an ace before, Ino. Yeah, unfortunately, we lost this one 3-2. It was the middle game of the series, and definitely through no fault of QG's. You know, I don't know if it was the time on the farm that helped him or what, but he came back strong. He went 6 2/3 innings, allowed just the one run, three hits, three walks, seven strikeouts. So he had a decent outing. Any impressions of this game, Joe?
Yeah, no, I think definitely a good comeback for QG, give him a little bit of confidence. So definitely... you know, good enough effort, I think, out of him for, you know, coming back and staying in the rotation. So I think that's good. You know, our offense, you know, three hits before the ninth inning, so kind of like a little sparse. But, you know, guess who came into the ninth and hit a home run?
Gomez, yes.
Yeah, so it was a two-run shot after an... Yamato hit there. So yep. With two outs, he's coming up the plate and, you know, gets us close, but not close enough. So, you know, not a, you know, I don't know. It's just the last, the, you know, four or five games that we've been held to very, very few runs. So it's tough to see, you know, the offense come really down over the last couple of weeks. So it's a different type of game, you know, definitely when the offense is, are really kind of slow. So
yes, yes, indeed. And I think, you know, it was starting to wear on Kanemoto a little bit, and he changed up the lineup quite a bit. Takayama was not in this one. Toritani was in the leadoff spot, which is something that he was in for most of last year. Yamato was batting second. So it almost looked like 2015 all over again, but that really did not make a difference in this one. And Itayama also got the start in left. And was it his first or second start of the year? I think it was his second start of the year. Really, another thing that hurt us in this one. First of all, good job by QG, but it really seems to me like he started to get gassed again around 90, 95 pitches, and I can't help but wonder if that's the cap that they need to put on his outings from here coming forth, or if his stamina is going to be built up. Enokita came in after QG had loaded the bases in the seventh, and he got out of the inning. It was a line drive to third base, or almost over third base, but Yokawa made a nice jumping catch to get us out of that inning. But Enokita allowed a leadoff home run in the eighth inning, so I think he's done that a few times this year already. I don't know. I mean, he seems to be a good pitcher, but he also seems to allow a lot of long balls, so that's kind of unfortunate. And then Takamiya in the ninth inning. So here's the thing. QG allowed one run, so it was 1-0 heading into the eighth inning. But then Enokita allowed the solo shot, and then Takamiya came in, and he was pretty clumsy. I mean, there was a weakly hit ground ball that he couldn't get to, but he seemed to kind of go for it a little bit too long, and it prevented, I think, Yokawa from getting a good read on it, and he threw the ball away at first. Then on the sacrifice bunt, it wasn't the sacrifice bunt, it was a little bit later on, there were already runners on first and second, and Takamiya threw a ball away at second base, so that could have been in the inning-ending double play, but instead the inning continued and they scored a run, so really unfortunate. It was sloppy defense again, you know, which I think we've been seeing plenty of this season. And really, I think that's what cost us the game almost as much as the sparse bats. But maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's kind of a combination of the younger age and, you know, maybe not having, you know, a lot of experience in the field. But again, maybe it's a rebuilding year.
Certainly is, and it's, you know, like we talked about this, I think, earlier in the season where we said, you know, it's going to be a year of growing pains, and I guess maybe I was ready to say that, but maybe not ready to watch it.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, it's been trying at times. It's kind of frustrating to see balls dropped and throws that are errant. More frustrating than anything, and we're going to get to this in a little bit as well, is the defensive play of Takashi Toritani, which, again, I kind of found myself cringing at in the game on Sunday. So Sunday, they brought Yamaguchi to the mound, and we brought Nomi to the mound. Nomi got himself into trouble a couple of times. In the second inning, he gave up a three spot on four hits and a walk. He also struck out the three guys that he got out in that inning. But I'm just going to add that in this inning, I think one of the hits was the commentators were saying Egoshi started his charge on it a little bit too late, and he dove for it and missed. So again, another attempted diving catch that he missed, that maybe if he'd started earlier, it would have been an out. And then there was another one that just barely made it over Toritani's head. And, you know, we're crying over spilt milk, but I mean, a younger Toritani would have caught that. And I just thought, like, you know, poor Nomi, like, just kind of the victim of some unfortunate hitting. I didn't think any of their hits in that inning were strong. They were just, they're kind of lucky. But he gave up three runs, so that was kind of unfortunate. And we got one back in the third inning with Yutaro Itayama's first career hit, first career RBI. So that was nice to see. A nice, nicely hit double to the left center gap.
Yeah, Nomi was the base runner there. So yeah, he kind of like sauntered around to third, you know, as he rounded third, he was just kind of like, all right, I'm going home.
Yeah.
I don't want to stand out here anymore, so I'm going home either way.
Yeah, for sure. It was neat to see again. And then in the sixth inning, they got their other three runs, and again, the first three hits that they got were not amazing hits. I mean, they didn't get great connection on any of them. I just kind of felt like, not that it was lucky, but it certainly was unfortunate for Nomi because he was pitching well. And then the clean double that they got was definitely, probably I would say their only really, really good hit. The Bay Stars' only good hit of the game, but it ended up bringing in three runs. So it's a 6-1 deficit, and it's looking like the Tigers are going to lose the series to the Bay Stars at home after being nearly swept by the Giants. But Joe, take us through the seventh, if you don't mind.
All right. The seventh, we started off with Egoshi with a walk, followed up by a Yokawa hit, and then a Hataguchi. My handwriting is terrible. and then a Imanadi liner, I think, to, what was that, short?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yeah, well hit and ball, then, out.
Yeah. And then I think they brought the reliever in. Was it right before that?
It was actually before Imanadi. Yeah, Zagarski.
Before Imanadi. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and he got beat up pretty bad. He got two straight Oshidashi walks, you know. So Kano and Yamato both got a walks to get two RBIs there. And then Toritani comes up and he gets another hit and gets another run. They held the third base runner. Mm-hmm. Fukudome came up and struck out. And then who else but Gomez to come through and get two more RBIs with a good hit, and then ended up with an Egoshi flyout. So definitely a good inning to bat all the way around to get Egoshi up to the bat to home plate twice. So finally, so we actually come back in a big fashion and actually get that tying run up on the board. So I really think that, you know, and it's not the ninth inning either. So, you know, we're coming back with a little bit of breathing room left in the game. And so I think the momentum there carried us into the eighth. And then we had a pretty close to almost a perfect inning in relief from Dolas. He gave up a walk, but other than that, he had only four batters against. So got one strikeout and a walk. So then in the eighth, I guess Hataguchi had a hit after, I guess, a Kano had a grounder to start the inning. Mm-hmm. And so then Hataguchi had a hit. Takayama came up and got a walk.
Yep.
And then
it was actually it was Yokawa on the first grounder, yeah, and then Kano on this one here.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
But go ahead.
Sorry, I just lost my spot. So then runners on first and third, and then Yamato came and got the RBI timely hit and got a run on the board. So that definitely came through in the pinch and gave us that one run that we needed. And then brought in Mateo for the top of the ninth, and only had one strikeout, but they had a grounder and a fly to end the game. So definitely a good good comeback win, and Dolis gets the win, I believe.
Yes, first career win for him.
So it's that's good. And then Mateo with another save. So kind of a surprising ending to the game, but considering how things have gone recently, but yes. Definitely good to see 7 runs on the board again. More offense finally starting to come back through. So hopefully that's going to continue into next week.
I hope so too. I hope so too, for sure. We struck out 12 times in this game, which I thought was, again, a really high number. But I'll also say this, you know, Kanemoto wants them to swing hard, and he doesn't want them to just swing to contact or whatever. And I mean, when you do that, you're going to end up with more strikeouts. So, yeah, it's kind of the way things go. I don't think I had anything else to add. I mean, you really summed it up nicely there for us, especially from the seventh inning on. So let's move forward then with the show. We have gone long on the summaries, but I hope you guys all enjoyed that. I mean, we did have a lot to say about the games and so on and so forth. But let's move into Player of the Week. Joe, who you got for us?
All right. My top three in no specific order. I have Yamato, mm-hmm. Yokawa, and Haraguchi. Nice I know pick. It's kind of a strange pick to pick three of the younger guys, but some guys on our... the recent list are definitely not there. Egoshi had a 0.67 batting average for the week, and Takayama had an 0.58. Wow. So they were not coming through. So I decided to go with Haraguchi. He came in during the Giants series and made an impression, and then continued to do well during the Yokohama series. So he had 4-for-10 this week at bat, mm-hmm. and had an RBI. So bat 400, I think I'll give him Player of the Week for coming through and actually seeming like we may have a catcher that may be able to help us out here, because we're such dire situation there. Mm-hmm. And to start off you know, his season with four out of 10 at bat, I think that might be a good thing that the team needs. So I'm going to give it to Haraguchi this week.
Okay.
So
I like your call. I like your call. The other impressive thing about him is I think he even threw out two runners that were trying to steal second base during this Bay Star series. So, you know, something that Umeno wasn't able to do at all this season, Haraguchi's already stepped up and done. And, you know, it kind of makes me wonder, like, you know, where is this guy hiding all this time? You know? But someone lit a fire on him. I mean, I know last fall at the camps, Kanemoto had mentioned that he wanted to work with Haraguchi. He saw something in Haraguchi that you know, that he had the potential to be a power hitter for the team. And I kind of wondered, like, man, he's been Ikuse now for 2 years. At the time, it was already, I think, even 3 full seasons. And I was thinking, like, if you don't have it after 3 seasons as a development player, when are you going to have it? But he's got it. I mean, I think he's looked really good at the plate too. He's confident. He's not scared to swing at that first pitch. And, you know, a lot of times the first pitch is the best one, you know, the best candidate to hit. And he's made really good connections. So I like your call.
Yeah, I looked it up. He's a 2009 sixth round draft pick. So he's been down the farm for quite a while.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, with catchers, that's a position you don't necessarily... You need some time to mature and to, you know, to call the game and to pick up the little things. And so I think that, you know, maybe it is, you know, they give catchers a little more time in the farm before they say, hey, okay, you're done, mm-hmm. kind of thing, you know. So maybe that's, you know, and he's finally hit that maturity point, and so that's huge.
I'm glad he has, for sure. All right, well, my player of the week is a repeat champion in Mauro Gomez. His batting average was not as good as it was last week. I think, Joe, you were saying he went, what was it, 6-for-22 or?
6-for-22, 273, yep.
273, so, you know, it's pretty respectable for a power hitter. He hit 2 more home runs, he had 5 RBIs, and he was an integral part of our tie against the Giants, which is kind of a moral victory in a sense because we were about to lose it. And then also in today's game, he's the one that came through with the big RBI with 2 outs and the bases juiced to tie that one. So, you know, even though he may not have the gaudy numbers that others do, he came through again, and he's been doing it all season. So hats off to Gomez again. Okay, we are going to look at players of the month, and I want to choose one hitter and one pitcher. And Joe, I kind of have a feeling we may have the same guys in mind, and so we're going to go through this maybe really quickly, but I'm just going to do a little say, I know, and then we can say who our guy is. Let's go with the full name and see if we can say it in unison. And if we're wrong, if we have different names, then we can explain ourselves afterwards. Is that cool?
I don't know his first name. I'm not good with first names. So okay. We can do the last name.
Okay. Well, then let's do it with the last name for hitter of the month then. Here we go. Seno Gomez. Yeah. We're both right. Yeah. Mauro Gomez. That's right. Man, what more can you say? I mean, if you count today, I think he had 28 RBIs.
I had my stats as of yesterday. Yeah. But so 28 RBIs. Mm-hmm. I think he has a 5-run lead over everybody else in the league on RBIs.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's huge. And he was tied for first place in home runs.
That's right.
A 3-way tie when I had the stats. Mm-hmm. So his slugging percentage is .538.
Wow.
And his batting average with runners in scoring position is no, that's not his. So he's really, I think, come through in the clutch for us. So, you know, with those RBIs, that's huge. He has a funny stat here. He has 2 stolen base. He's tied for second on the team.
Yeah.
So, I guess that may mean that we need to steal a few more bases with the rest of the guys. But, hey, he has 2 stolen bases.
Well, you know, that triples his career total up until this point, because through his first 2 years, he only had 1. So. Good on him. All right. And let's go for pitcher of the month. And again, we'll do the same thing and we'll just do last name. But I kind of have a feeling we might have the same guy in mind. So ready, here we go. Seno Iwasada.
Yeah, of course.
Yep. How about that? Yeah, Yuta Iwasada. I think, if I'm not mistaken, his ERA is still under 1. Is that right?
Yes, 0.79. Jeez. He has 3 earned runs over 34 1/3. And his record's 2-1. So... and his 1 loss, he gave up 1 run in 6 2/3.
Ouch.
So definitely pretty dominant. He's had 5 out of 5 quality starts for the month. Mm-hmm. So, or for the season so far. And then this is a huge 46 strikeouts to 6 walks.
Ooh.
I mean, this guy is dominant.
That is incredible. That's an almost 8-1 ratio. I think he's also leading the league, the Central, in strikeouts.
Yeah, I didn't check that, but he has 14 more than Nomi, who was our strikeout king for quite a while.
Right.
So I really like to see this is huge, having him come up and, for that. But I did want to mention, looking at relief pitchers as well. Mm-hmm. Takahashi's had a good year. He's got a 1.69 ERA.
Yeah.
So that's not bad. And then Ando has a 0 ERA coming through in 9 games, pitching 7 2/3.
Yeah.
And his batting average against is .083. So
nice.
He's definitely come through in situations when we needed him. So, I just wanted to mention those two guys as definitely stepping up and going above and beyond. So
yeah, like Shintaro Hu, he's having a bit of a rough outing, or a rough year so far, but hopefully he'll turn the ship around real soon. And then also Mateo has kind of helped us to forget about Sung-hwan Oh as well, I would say.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm.
Well,
he hasn't
been maybe not have as many safe games to save, but hey.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, if you look purely at those numbers, then yeah, like his save numbers are quite a bit lower than what O's were at this point last year or even the year before. But in 14 innings, he's allowed just 9 hits, but he's also walked 8 guys. So his walk total needs to come down. But overall, he's been really solid as well, allowing just 3 runs during his time on the mound. So we've definitely got some bright stars in the pitching department. Maybe more so.
Yeah, it just seems like we just need like 1 or 2 more, at least maybe 1 solid starter to fill in for Iwata, and we may have it. You know what I mean? That's big.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. All right. Okay, we are going to shift gears here, and we're going to do a special topic talk. The topic talk is this. We have done a full month and a week of baseball now, of the regular season. And the team record is 15 wins, 14 losses, and 2 ties. It's good for 4th place, or I think tied for 3rd, but our percentage is slightly lower than Chunichi's. But I think we've got a good picture of who should be up on the first team and maybe who shouldn't be up on the first team or whatever. And so, Joe, I sent you a link to, showing all the players that are on the top squad right now. And I just kind of want to go through it and maybe talk about who maybe should not be there. And in the case of those who should not be there, with whom should they be replaced, I guess, would be the next question on that. So going through, let's start with pitchers. Are there any pitchers that you see out there that you think maybe, need to spend some time on the farm other than guys that have already been sent down?
Enokita, maybe. He's kind of struggled. I don't really, because some of these relief guys, they have one or two bad outings. It's hard to say, okay, you're done, mm-hmm. pull the plug. But, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think we're in decent shape as far as the pitching lineup goes.
All right. Yeah, just for the record, Enokita has a 3.45 ERA, which is not too bad. Like you said, he has struggled at times, and he's allowed a couple of home runs in there. But overall, he's been pretty dependable. I would actually like to see Takamiya sent down to the farm. He's probably the only one that I see in the pitching staff that could maybe use some fine-tuning or whatever. And Takamiya right now, his ERA is 5.56, and that's through 11 innings pitched. 11 and a third innings pitched. I haven't gotten any good vibes off of him at all this season. Mm-hmm. I think generally the team likes to swap lefties for lefties. So if we were to go and look at the lefties that are on the farm that maybe could take his place, we have Shoya Yamamoto, who has gone 7 2/3 innings and allowed just one earned run. He's a young guy, or a fairly young guy. So his ERA is 1.17 down on the farm. He is probably the best lefty as far as ERAs go. If you remember Kaneda, of course, he's a righty, but he's got still a perfect ERA down on the farm, although he's only pitched 5 innings. But I would say maybe he could be replaced with Shoya Yamamoto and see how Yamamoto does. I'd like to, kick the tires on him. But that's about it as far as the pitchers go. Now we move into the kind of interesting and juicy part, the hitters. Yeah. So at catcher right now, we have Komiyama, Okazaki, and Haraguchi on the Ichigun squad. And then in the infield, we have Toritani, Hojo, Gomez, Ryota Arai, Imanari, Yokawa. And for our outfielders, we have Yamato, Fukudome, Takayama, Yokota, Egoshi, Itayama, and Kano. Any guys here that you wonder why they're still up on Ichigun or anything like that?
This is a little tougher. I think maybe Komiyama, we haven't seen much of him, but he just came up, I think, right?
Yes.
So we'll give him some time. Okazaki, he hasn't been playing all that much. He's, mm-hmm. But I think with the Haraguchi, we got to give him time at catcher, and then, catchers don't always play all the time. So, we'll see how those other two fall in.
Yeah.
As far as the infield, it's tough to say. Imanari, he's been playing a little bit recently.
Yeah.
Coming in, and I think some relief or some pinch hits, but, I think the jury's still out there. I don't think he's done enough to get the plug pulled. Wow. So, I'm okay with the infield. Yurota, he had that pinch hit home run, so mm-hmm. I think that earned him some more time.
it bought him an extra week or so.
Yeah, maybe. So maybe that's a question mark, but, I mean, even in the outfield, going back through that list, I really don't see anybody that necessarily, maybe Yokota, he really hasn't been in the starting lineup for a while. And so he's mm-hmm. been kind of a follow on, at the end of the pinch hitter kind of guy, where I think anybody on the farm could take that role. Egoshi had a rough week. Takayama had a rough week. So we've had some guys fill in the Dina series. So I don't know. It's tough to say any of these guys should really be farmed outright. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've got a few thoughts. First of all, I know at the start of the season they were going with the two catcher system, and then they had Imanari as the emergency catcher, and he did appear as catcher in one game against the Dragons, and he was behind the mask when Viciedo hit the walk-off home run, but that was also hit off of Fukuhara, who, as we know, didn't have his best stuff. I would say let's give Imanandi another chance to be the emergency third-string catcher and punt Komiyama back down to the farm, because I don't really see a need for him up here, especially with Haraguchi doing so well and then Okazaki kind of developing rapport with Messenger and Nomi. So I would say send Komiyama down, not for anything that he's done wrong, but just for the fact that there's no real need for him. He doesn't have a use up on the team, I don't think. Next, Ryota Arai. So he hit that one home run, but, we've at third base, we've got Yokawa, Imanari, and then Arai. And then of course, I'm really hoping that somehow we can get Haig back up here, but, that doesn't seem to be, something that's going to happen anytime soon. But I just feel like at third base, we've got enough talent. Hojo could fill in at third if need be as well. So I really don't know what Arai Ryota brings that say Kano doesn't. I think they kind of fill the same slot or the same role. I think that Arai could be sent down to the farm maybe to bring up a little bit more speed, because even though we have a decent number of stolen bases, like you said, Gomez has got two of those, and as I've mentioned, Okazaki has one, Umeno has one, Messenger has one. So, maybe we need a little bit more speed, and especially if Yokota, speaking of Yokota, let's farm him while we're at it. He's got four of our stolen bases too. I feel like Homer Simpson on that one Simpsons show where he's the football coach and he keeps saying like, you're cut. And I'm going to cut Yokota, and I'm on the verge of cutting Egoshi as well, but we'll keep him up for a little bit longer. But I'm cutting Yokota as well. And the reason again is he's just not pulling his weight. And I know he's only 20, but if he's not going to be getting good playing time up here, let's send him down so that he can be coached by Kakefu, so he can get a good number of at-bats, maybe find his swing again, and bring him back a little bit later in the season. I'd love to see him back up on the first squad. I just think that right now, Yamato's getting a little bit more time in center field. And then we've got Takayama, Egoshi, and Itayama as youngsters as well in the outfield. So we could bring up maybe somebody with more experience, or I'm not really sure. But like maybe a guy like Araki, maybe we bring in Uemoto to do a little bit of second base stuff. Or maybe when Nishioka comes back, we just automatically farm Arai or Yokota as a result of that. But I think there are some moves that can be made, but I'm not criticizing management and saying like, what's wrong with you? How come you can't see what I see? Because, how arrogant would that be of me to be sitting behind a computer saying I know better than what Kanemoto's doing or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's been any major glaring, things that Kanemoto hasn't been doing with the team. He's, mm-hmm. In the last week, he's been shuffling, at least the last three games, he's really been shuffling the lineup, seeing what he can do, moving players around. So I think that he's given everybody their fair shake, trying to make things work. So, yeah. I don't really have a lot of beef against him as a manager so far this year.
Hats off to him for not being afraid to try different things. He's not bowing to any expectations, or, he wasn't afraid to pull Takayama for a couple of games here. He hasn't been afraid to try Shimizu at catcher, or to bring Haraguchi up, very suddenly.
Right.
He sent Kyuji and Iwata down to the farm already, and these are guys that, they're making big bucks, but he's not afraid to do what needs to be done. So I really like the job he's doing so far.
Except for Toritani, maybe, right?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, honestly, Toritani will never be farmed. He's one of those players that he's...
No, I'm not saying be farmed, but, no. Maybe I'm not benching. Play every inning.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's something that we touched on, I think, last week. But, I feel like his defense is still, he made a couple more. I think there was an error this week and then a couple of plays that he should have made that he didn't, that weren't charged as errors. So, there's still a lot. There's still a lot that he leaves to be desired. We won't go there this week. Okay, we are going to do something called Fantasy Tigers Update.
Fantasy. Tigers Fantasy. Hello, everyone. Jimbo here. I'm one of the three guys doing the fantasy with the Tigers with T-Ray. And I thought it's important to tell you, first off, why I drafted what I drafted. And last year, the Tigers' batting was pretty weak, so I wanted to go with pitchers. And as you can tell by me being the bottom of the pack on the hitters, you can easily see that I didn't put much of my focus on there. But looking at how my pitching's going... All right, let's talk about this week. Well, finally, Torii decided to turn it on. He's getting some hits, and he's getting some RBIs in. And also, Imanati's turning it on. But this past week, it seems like most of my guys that are on my fantasy team decided to hit into double plays. And the last game, my players had several chances with runners on base. Especially in the last game when Imanati came up and bases loaded, out. Kano comes up, bases loaded, he gets walked. So I don't get anything for that. Thank goodness Toritani came up later with bases loaded and got a couple in. So that's where I'm at this week. So hopefully next week, Messenger has a good game. You know what? Maybe he needs a little more power. Tell you what, Messenger, if you're ever, you know, hankering for some great ramen, you give me a call. We'll go out. I know a good place. Just chill. And that'll give you the power you need to get a 20 strikeout game. I promise you that. This is Jimbo. Talk to you again later.
Hello, H10. This is T-Ray, and this is my fantasy update for May 1st. Well, guys, it looks like the hitting categories are all but won. I know the season's young and there's still many months to go, but I am killing it in home runs and RBIs and runs scored, and even the stolen bases department, I'm doing pretty good. You know what I'm not doing on the big squad? Home runs from Arai, Yokawa, Gomez. I'm also doing on the farm where I got a couple of home runs there. I got some stolen bases from Uemoto. So look out, guys. I'm coming at you in those. Unfortunately, my pitching has been pretty weak, but we just won't go there with this one. I've got the quantity numbers in pitching. So, you know, have fun fighting over those other two categories, kids. Anyways, this is T-Ray. Good luck next time, guys.
Hi, everyone. Here's Fernando with the H10 Fantasy League Weekly Update. And to begin with, I got to say that this is my first time playing a fantasy game. And I can tell that so far I'm having a lot of fun competing with these two guys, T-Ray and Jimbo. So one thing that you guys should be asking yourselves is, if it's your first time, how did you select the players? Basically, what I did was trying to balance as much as I could the hitters and the pitchers. And what I can say is, I end up with a very decent hitting team. So what I got in the selection was Takayama, Egoshi, Hoju, Umeno, Nishioka, and Yamato. That's for the Ichigun team, right? But unfortunately, to everyone's surprise, after the Giants series, Takayama and Egoshi stopped to hit the ball, like before. But at the same time, my boy Yamato, love Yamato, started to step up in the absence of Nishioka, which is also on my team. Everyone knew that at some point of the season, he would get injured again, but I select him anyway, because I think he's a good hitter. Another guy that I thought would make a difference was Umeno, but please, don't even get me started on this one. For the pitching staff, I got our ace, which I consider our ace so far. I got Yu Asada, which has been phenomenal, with 38 Ks and an ERA of 0.79, but only has two victories so far, which makes no sense, right? But that's life, and life sometimes is not fair, which I think is totally unfair with him. My boy Fujikawa just got back from the farm and pitched a really good game on Saturday, and hopefully we'll settle down a little bit. So I got some points on this one. On the farm, things are not doing so well. I get Saka, who actually sucks, but in just 0.164, and Azuhata with an average of 100. So I'm losing a lot of points with these two guys on the farm. I feel sorry for James sometimes because I know his players are struggling a little bit, but I'm glad that for a rookie in this kind of stuff, I'm talking about myself, I'm putting a really good fight. And Thierry, I'm coming after you. That's all for now. Stay tuned for more updates on the Age 10 Fantasy League. See you next time.
All right, so that is the fantasy corner, and as you can tell from what we just said, T-Ray is still killing it in the hitting, but you know, his quality numbers with the pitching is terrible, and so the other guys have had a chance in those categories. But other than that, you know, it's a pretty big year for T-Ray. Anyways, again, the fantasy league is going to see some changes next season. It's going to be real exciting, and we're looking for more players, so be ready for that. Okay. This week, we have got six more games, and we're guaranteed to play three of them because they're in the dome, so there won't be rainouts for the start of the week, and, well, who knows about the end of the week, but we're on the road against the Dragons during Golden Week. Those will all be day games, 2 p.m. Japan time starts, and then we've got three on the weekend against the Swallows, Friday night, and then, again, two day games in the afternoon. So, what do you think, Joe? Got six games on tap? What's the record going to be?
I'm going to go with 4-2, and we're going to go 2-1 on each of the series. That's my call.
Okay. So. All right. I am going to say...
Don't say the word sweep.
Nope. I'm going back to my old faithful 3-3. Sorry. I don't know. I don't have a great feeling about our time in the Dragon's Den. But I hope that we take 2 out of 3. I think we might be facing Yudai Ono, who has been like kryptonite to us. So I think we'll lose at least that one. But then we come back against the Swallows. And man, the Swallows are red hot. They just swept the Giants. And, you know, I don't know who they brought to the mound this weekend. I know they for sure brought Ogawa. But if those three pitchers shut down the Giants' bats enough, and man, the Swallows' bats are starting to heat up, I'm a little bit scared. I think we're going to go 1-2 at home against the Swallows, but we'll take 2 out of 3 against the Dragons. So I'm going 3-3 again. So again, I called a 5-1 and Joe called a 5-1 last week, and we ended up going 2-3-1. So both of us are way off. All right. In closing, I've just got a couple of things to bring to everyone's attention. First of all, sometime during Golden Week, I'm going to find the time to start up a new kind of corner on the website, call it People of Koshien or Humans of Koshien or something like that. And basically, I'd love for all of you to send in pictures of yourselves at Koshien, or if you got some good pictures of the players at Koshien or whatever it might be, send them my way. podcast@thehanshintigers.com, and I want to put them up there, so you know, make sure that they're presentable, acceptable. Joe sent me a couple already. They look great. I'm excited to put those up, and keep in mind, they don't have to be from this year. They can be from years past as well, but we definitely want to make kind of like a collection of great pictures of the Gaijin fans and even Japanese fans at the games that you see, so send those our way. Secondly, I am actually going to be sending out a poll or a questionnaire to people, hopefully about a week from now, maybe 2 weeks from now. I'm not really sure yet, but it's something where I need people's input, and it's about doing a presentation. I'm going to be doing a talk about Japanese baseball, and so I'm going to make a list of questions or whatever that I would like to have answered in some form. So if you're willing to take part in this poll or this questionnaire, send me a blank email, again, podcast@thehunchingtigers.com, and I will try to get a questionnaire into your hands at some point. Again, like I said, maybe by the end of this week or maybe sometime early next week. So be looking for that. Please send me that email. I would love to get your input into what I can put into this presentation. Lastly, contact info. I've just given you the email address twice. Let's go for a third, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. Also, you can reach us on Facebook. We've got the Facebook group where, man, we're getting like 200 plus comments on every game stream where people are just writing in about what's going on, or sometimes they post pictures of them watching it on TV at their homes or on their computer screens. Join us in the group. You know, put in a request to join the group. We're up to 350 strong. Click like on the Facebook page. I'm up to almost 200 on that, and we're gaining about 10 fans a week on that. I put daily recaps on there. I put little translations to interesting articles I find, and I add other stuff like who's been called up from the farm, who's been sent down to the farm, stuff like that. Just the daily information that I may not put into recaps. And finally, you can follow me at Twitter on Twitter at the Hunching Tiger. So any of those, I'd love to hear from you guys during the week. Enjoy your Golden Week. Joe, I guess you don't get a Golden Week, but have you got any plans for the first week of May?
Just working hard. No, just normal stuff for me. So another week in the life over here.
Sometimes that's yeah, exactly what we get from week to week. But anyways, I hope you have a good week. I hope you're able to watch some baseball and enjoy it. And go Tigers, go. Let's exceed my 3-3 prediction. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah.